Nothing better than a mid-month start on a Monday. Home stretch. Halfway through April. Today we're talking about Fisker dealers sounding off, Ford striking back, Tesla adapting, and a little bit of a SotaCon swag. Everywhere I go, the people really want to know who I am. This is one of my favorite parts of Prius SotaCon.
Oh, I'm so excited right now. I love your little smile. You're like, yeah.
It's one of my favorite parts of any live event that we put on is that about 30 days out, the swag shipments start to come in. And I just get more excited. Like, if you've been to an Asoto event, you know that we kind of are a little obsessive about what we give out as swag. We'll call it merch. Look, there's no, it's like, merch. Squishy balls. Like, this is stuff that you can actually use, that you actually want to wear, that you want to put on your stuff, that you want to pay for if you don't get enough items. So we're going to have all that at AsotoCon, which is only 29 days away now. We are under 30 days.
That kind of blew my mind this morning. Like, I knew that yesterday. I knew there was a moment in church. I was sitting there. I was like, it's the 14th. It's 30 days away. But then when I get the daily email this morning and it was like 29.
Something about 29. Level. I know. Well, it's real fun to watch ticket velocity pick up in the last 30 days of any event. If you've ever put on an event in auto, you understand that until you get under 30 days, people haven't fully like, oh, I better buy my tickets. So, right. They've been picking up every day. We're seeing more and more. We're going to have a great big crowd at AsotoCon. We still have space left, and you need to be there. Go to AsotoCon.com. Check out the speaker list. Check out the agenda, which is now probably 90% up. We still have some more sessions we need to add. We have amazing keynotes, amazing dealers who are sharing best practices so that you can leave better than you came with. Special thanks to Jim Fitzpatrick and CBT News for putting AsotoCon on the front page of the CBT site at the end of last week.
And he did my heart so good.
He understands us.
Our whole team has requoted his quote in the interview.
Awesome.
It was like, it's a mix between, what was it in
part spiritual rock revival? Concert, part spiritual revival. And the third part is part business, what we're going to call the end, part like business objective changing event.
Yes.
Because it's not just like we have this thing where we put on amazing experiences. So it's easy to think like, oh, it's just a great experience, just a spiritual revival. It is those things. But you're going to go home knowing some of the best practices going on in the industry and with the relationships with the top practitioners in the industry that, you know what it is? Once you meet, have a conversation, exchange numbers, then when you get tripped up, you just text the person, hey, what did you do about this and this and this? Exactly. Hey, what are you doing now that salespeople aren't making as much as they were? What have you tried? And we all know those are the things that make massive, massive differences in our businesses. Right. So go to AsotoCon.com. Still tickets left. If you're an industry partner, we have a very limited amount of spaces left. The program is being very close to sold out, even on sponsorships. So I think everyone is understanding, like, I'm about to miss out on something, you know.
Yep.
Okay, so like we brought this swag, so.
Okay, do it real quick.
Okay, so get into it. This is just a little thing. We have a lot coming, but this little more than cars, I can't put it too close to the camera because I don't have autofocus. It's like an air jump tag, they call it, but it is like a high quality aluminum carabiner with a ring. It says more than cars on it. It's like a heavy duty, like military grade nylon
that's
woven.
That's going on the backpack.
This is going on the keys, on the backpack. We're going to see these walking all over the airports and not too. And Car Cutter, who, first of all, I want to thank our sponsors, Reynolds and Goobagoo, presenting sponsors of the event, for making this sucker happen. They just stepped up, partnered. We got a lot of fun things coming with them as well. This little piece of swag, however, comes from our friends at Car Cutter, and it is for the Recharge booth.
See that.
The Recharge Lounge, which they sponsored, and it is a dongle that has a USB, regular USB on one end, and on the other end, it's got three options. You can have a USB-C, a Lightning, and a micro USB. Let me tell you, this is going to become part of my regular travel gear. I already have like a shorter one that I'd never leave home without. And that's what happens.
I need that so often. So often.
These things are going to disappear. We have a whole box of them, but I know they're going to be gone on day one. You need one of these in your life. Right. And you can get one if you come to AsotoCon. All right, let's talk about some news, huh?
Worth the price of admission, Paul. Worth the price of admission.
Well, I don't know about that. You can get one of those a little cheaper than an AsotoCon ticket, but close. Here we go. Despite Fisker's ongoing financial troubles and a significant drop in stock price, the few remaining Fisker dealers, like Fisker Indianapolis, Fisker Albany, they're staying positive and continue selling the Fisker Ocean crossover. Recent price cuts, we know Fisker cut the price of the Ocean by 40%. And You know, but they that cut has actually spurred more consumer interest and sales. Fisker Indianapolis reporting a lot of successful deliveries to out-of-state customers, right? Because there are a few places you can get these. Yep. Remaining dealers are hopeful for the future, citing Ocean's affordability now and positive customer feedback on the vehicle's performance and design. Val Rangulov, dealer principal at Fisker Albany in New York, just down the road from here in Syracuse, said, as of now, we're still moving cars. Time will tell what happens. I love the car. It's very solid, well-built, and we're hoping for the best. However, Classic Fisker of Atlanta, where we'll be later this week, continues to list Ocean inventory online. However, some other early partners like Mills Automotive Group, you know, our friend Damian Mills, and the Orsman Automotive Group, close to Esotocon, are distancing themselves from Fisker, reflecting very dear dealer confidence levels in the brand's future. Interesting one that's developing.
Yeah, I mean, this is one, it's so wild because if you go track back to like a month before NADA, all the energy is on Fisker, right? They start, they announce a couple dealers getting into the franchise network. Everybody in the industry is excited because they're taking the dealer route. You know, they've got a more affordable line of vehicles coming out. And then all of a sudden, like a month after NADA, when you start seeing the reviews come out and some of like the super fandom of YouTubiness is what I'm going to call it.
That's a great quote right there.
Right? starts to take hold of what's going on at Fisker. And, you know, there's questions out there in the market. I'm encouraged because this is why a brand like Fisker takes the dealer route. Because dealers aren't going to sacrifice for it's not going to work out.
Absolutely.
They're going to go all in until they can't anymore. And you see that happening with the couple of dealers that are going.
That's a great point. Imagine if they didn't have a couple dealers on their side.
No, they'd be gone. Absolutely.
Little lesson to learn there. But I also think it's going to affect the future of other EV brand rollouts that want to leverage a dealer network. I think there'll be a lot more diligence up front. And maybe even needing to prove more of a track record to see what happens. It'll be, you know, sure. I'm definitely not going to be surprised if Scout goes this direction, but Scout obviously has a network of vetted VW dealers to partner with if they want to. We'll see what happens. I can't wait for Scout.
If they want to, it's the if they want to.
I can't see them not partnering in some way with dealers.
They kind of have to at this point.
Oh, I know. All right, let's, speaking of established dealer networks.
Super excited.
This got me excited. This one dropped on Friday.
Do you know there's like 3,600 Ford dealers? Super random. We'll get into it.
Did you know? It's like pop-up. Was it like VH1 pop-up video? Bloop. Did you know? The OG Empire is striking back as Ford introduces a 1,500 Tesla competitive conquest bonus cash plan. It's actually a rebate specifically targeting current Tesla owners toward the purchase of a Ford F-150 Lightning or a Mustang Mach-E. So any owner of a Tesla from 2008 or newer is eligible for the incentive without having to trade in or get out of the Tesla. They're saying, if you own the Tesla, we'll give you $1,500 to try a Ford EV. Ford is offering substantial discounts already across their electric model line, the F-150 Lightning. You can get as much as $12,500 off some of the higher trims as a broader strategy to enhance, you know, to elevate their EV sales. An entry-level Mach-E now with this incentive starts at $38,000.
Wow.
The incentives available through, according to a Ford dealer, like I don't know that we have an official document that's been released, but the incentive is going to be available through July 8th for both 2024 and 2023 model years.
Look, I'm proud of them. It's awesome. Know,
so excited.
Just calling the shot. It's not like EV competitive bonus cash. It's like Tesla. We're coming after you. We know that the early EV buyer was a Tesla buyer, and we need to attract them to our brand. And here's the two models that you can do that with. And hey, by the way, you can also get a less than $40,000 Mach-E. There's so much intelligence around that decision. And I bet you're going to continue to see the EV sales. I don't know about you, Paul, but just anecdotally, as I've been, you know, I was at Kane last week, had a couple phone conversations where dealers are citing an increased interest in EVs, whether that's because of more knowledge in the market, more charging stations, or
more affordability,
the incentive, right? Yeah. The affordability of the EV. And so it's getting to a place where it's like, hey, maybe we're actually going to like get through the gap, which we've all been talking about, this kind of like EV adoption gap. can we circumnavigate it? You know, I think the, you know, second half of this year is still the question mark there and whether or not we can make it through that. But the early signs of this year with the tax credit, with rebates like this, are pointing to the possibility.
My sister was over and she was asking me, like, you know, people that, you know, always ask you about car questions. Oh, I need to get a new this, new the get. Well, I was like, well, what are your driving habits? This and this and this. And frankly, I started looking up EV leases, and the fact that you can lease like a brand new, like Hyundai Ioniq 5 or Mach-E, like there's so many options where the lease is under $300 a month because they apply $7,500 credit directly to the lease. And so like we had this long conversation. He's like, oh, she's like, are they good? Are EVs good? And we had this whole conversation about like the pros and the cons. And she's the perfect candidate for an EV because she drives like 25 miles a day. She lives in a place where she could plug in every night if she wanted to. And so like one of these, a Mach-E or a, you know, a Hyundai Ioniq 5 would be a great fit for her. So I don't know. It's coming up. Steve Greenfield in his email this morning said the Model Y accounts for over a third of all EV sales, just that one model. So the Mach-E is in great position to compete against it.
Well, here's the other piece of this is, like, I have a text thread with a bunch of dealers and industry partners, and there are, if you're working for a dealer group that has an EV model in the lineup, even in the dealer group, there are a lot of new employee incentives that go outside of just the LLC that you work at. Like, it's available to the entire dealer group network. Where I, like, they were saying, hey, we're seeing a couple grand down under $200 a month leases out there for employee purchases of these models. So like,
get them going.
That's the smart game. Get the employees driving the car that will drive the sales of that. That was always a target for mine. You got Brian Ortega. He's like, got my EV last week. He got his Toyota EV.
Did he? Hey. Oh, I didn't see that. Did he?
It's coming through.
I thought he electrified a Swatch car.
He got one of those BZ4Xs.
Okay, so. I can never get the name right. Never.
It is. It's
speaking
of
trying to get things right. Stop.
Segway. Time.
So meanwhile, amongst all of this craziness with EVs, Tesla's deploying a dual effort of both, one, slashing subscription prices, and two, global layoffs in an effort to remain competitive, as it also cut its full self-driving, or FSD, subscription prices in half the U.S. and Canada to $99 a month, down from $199. They have announced layoffs exceeding 10% of its global workforce, impacting like potentially up to 14,000 employees. You know where to take them. this is definitely a reduction in production shifts and a strategic pause in some manufacturing locations. They have recently faced a year-over-year sales drop, particularly in China, where the local EV makers like BYD are expanding rapidly. They're preparing for its quarterly profits report here, and the market and employees are just watching to see how these adjustments at the end of Q1 and in the beginning of Q2 will affect its financial health and workplace morale.
This sounds like very classic Elon Musk, like pulling back.
Absolutely.
The 10% work cut, not saying it's fully arbitrary, but he's very, very well known for doing things like this. Like, we need to start to cut expenses really quick. He knows how to drive sales. Steve Greenfield was guest host last week, Kyle, while you were gone, and we were just talking about Tesla's goal of, you know, selling software and that being a big part of their revenue stream. Now, you know, like the full self-driving touted to be like a cash cow for the company once it's rolled out. Will it ever be able to be like fully implemented and adopted? We don't know, but cutting the price in half definitely gets more people on the platform, but it also gives them more data so they can make it better. The new beta that's been released, right? Like, so this is 3D chess.
You said better, I think, so they could sell it, but that's just my personal opinion that Tesla's a data company, they aren't a car company.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. So I also like the way this ties in with the last story and like, you know, kind of like the two heavyweights, Jim Farley and Elon Musk, duking it out. And when someone shows like a little bit of stagger, got a little blood in their eye or whatever, what are you going to do? You're going to pounce on them and try to give them another shot while
right
you can.
Right,
so, I mean, I don't expect this to put Tesla under, but definitely is a fun battle to watch going back and forth. And in the end, Funny thing about this, Kyle, the consumer gets to decide what they want to drive.
Yo, there it is. Always, always. Tell them how it is. Consumer's going to do what consumer's going to do.
We actually have a sticker that says consumer's going to do what consumer's going to do. We're going to have them at a SodaCon. Go to a SodaCon. Check out the roster. We hope to see you there. But if not, have a great Monday morning.